إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. It's always a pleasure to welcome all of you to these classes in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them as a great benefit for all of us. And that's why we have in these classes, so that we can come out with some benefits, inshallah ta'ala, understand it correctly and put it to practice in our lives. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to help us push the wheels of this da'wah forward, inshallah ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His endless bounties. Many are the blessings of Allah, wallahi. Many are the blessings of Allah that we enjoy, but do we pay attention to them? Subhanallah. Peace of mind, security. Sometimes you find some of us, just because they cut down his hours in his job, they said, he has a big dilemma. But he's a pan-Islam. Subhanallah, you're a pan-Islam. That's it, man. Dunya now become all the concern. Sometimes the person, Allah tests them. We go to the doctor and say, you know what? The doctor is not even sure yet. We don't know. You may have cancer. We're not sure. That's it. He's done. Yeah, subhanallah. You have Islam. And if you die upon Islam, you go to the Jannah. No cancer in the Jannah. No sickness. Don't have to look for a job. Subhanallah. You don't have to look over your shoulder. You don't have to worry. You don't have to make no budget. You're in Jannah. Subhanallah. The last person, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, the last person who enters the Jannah. The last one. And this is a person who was in the hellfire. He spent some time in the hellfire. But because he died upon Tawheed, but then they have a lot of other issues. And Allah punished this person, but they saved them from the hellfire. And this person, when he enters to the Jannah, and subhanAllah, there is a story for him getting to the Jannah. Because once he came out of the hellfire, he was happy. SubhanAllah, very happy. Then Allah show him a tree. And then he said, oh Allah, just get me to this tree, Allah, so I can sit in its shade and drink from the water if it is around it. So Allah said to him, if I get you there, you promise you don't ask me anything else? I promise, my Lord. Allah get him to the tree, but Allah knows what this man is going to do. Then Allah made another tree bigger than that, better than it and bigger than it. Then that man says, oh Allah, just get me to the other one, it's bigger, it's better. Allah said, didn't you promise? He said, I won't ask you anymore, oh Allah. Allah knows what he's going to do. He put him into that tree. Then when he got to that tree, he got closer to the Jannah. And he hears the people of the Jannah. Then he said, oh Allah, what is this, the people of the Jannah? He said, oh Allah, I want to be in the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got him into the Jannah. He says, look, and I'm going to give you this and 10 times the kingdom of those kings that there will be in the dunya. Then that man says, oh Allah, you are Rabbul Alameen and you're making fun of me? Meaning me, give me all this? SubhanAllah. So you go through trouble in this dunya, through hardship, remember the Jannah and everything will be okay, inshallah. Just remember in the Jannah, once you make it, inshallah, no hardship, no sufferances, nothing, no worries. Okay? So many are the blessings of Allah upon us. The greatest of all is this Islam. For Allah guiding us to Islam and especially to be upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you see, there is a lot of Muslims. Unfortunately, they may be the majority. They Muslims, mashallah. They say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They pray, if they pray, those who pray. We're talking about those amongst them who pray and fast. But then they don't know the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if they don't know the Sunnah, they fall into its opposite, which is bid'ah, innovations. And some of them, yes, they fall into shirk. Allah command us to follow His religion. Allah command us to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and warned us against following anything else other than this. Because Allah says, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ Quran and Sunnah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِي أَوْلِيَا Follow that which it was revealed to you from your Lord, Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And do not follow anything else, meaning innovations. نعم. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا Hold on firm to the rope of Allah, Quran and Sunnah, and don't divide yourself upon innovations. Innovations doesn't bring people together, divide the people away from the path of Allah. Allah says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ This is my path, one, that is straight, all of you should follow. The path of what? Quran and Sunnah. The deen of Allah. And do not follow the many other paths, innovations. Why? Because they will take you further away from the path of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ And be aware of following those newly invented matter that certain people they're going to bring to Islam, call the Muslims too. For indeed, all of those things are innovations and lead you astray, make you to be lost. And who wants to be lost? No, you want to be on the path of Allah and die on it, and may Allah make us from those people. Ameen. Of course, during our classes, alhamdulillah, we mentioned these principles. These are principles holding firm to the sunnah. It's one of the principles of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And likewise, we says that while you're holding to the sunnah, you have to stay away from bid'ah. Naam. Salaam wa rahmatullah. Because the sunnah and the bid'ah, they don't go together. You cannot be on the sunnah and in bid'ah at the same time. You cannot have water and fire on the same bucket. Just can't. Choose which one you want. But alhamdulillah, we choose water, inshallah. So it's very important. We are commanded to be upon the sunnah, and we are commanded to stay away from bid'ah and innovations. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about this very important thing, which is bid'ah. So we know why these innovations and are so dangerous. Why we are commanded to stay away from them. Muhadara, the ulama, they give lectures. Rather, others, they wrote books upon bid'ah innovations in the religion because they're very dangerous. Very dangerous. Because, subhanAllah, the innovation take a person away from the sunnah. And if a person is away from the sunnah, you think they are upon good? Of course they are not upon good. They are upon destruction. في تعريف البدعة وبيان أنواعها وأحكامها. This is a lecture by one of our noble sheikhs, Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, from his book, محاضرات في العقيدة والدعوة, volume number 1. This is lecture number 5 in this volume. We're going to learn what is the definition and the meaning of a bid'ah, innovation. What does it mean? And also, the sheikh is going to mention some types of bid'ah and innovations. And then he's going to mention the sheikh, Allah, the ruling of innovations. Are they halal, they haram, they were there? Are they from the religion or not? After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, all praise to Allah, the Lord of the Alameen. Allah who command us to follow and to adhere to the deen, to the sunnah, and He forbade us from innovations. He says, now we're going to mention some of the, inshallah ta'ala, in this presentation, some of the very important points as related to bid'ah, innovations in the religion. Number one, ta'rif al-bid'ah. تعريف البدعة definition of بدعة he says this بدعة linguistically it's mean to invent inventions when someone come up with something that there is no example for it before. That's a bid'ah. For example, a cell phone. When they come with the cell phone, that cell phone is a bid'ah. Why? Because there was no phone like it before. Okay, there was no phone before. It's different now if somebody come up with cell phone, he said, this cell phone is just someone, bid'ah. I said, no, cell phone's been for years now, for like 20 years, maybe 30 years. But the first person who come up with the cell phone, that first cell phone is called a bid'ah linguistically, not in the religion. In the language, it's a bid'ah. Why? Because linguistically, what's a bid'ah mean? Innovation. Something they have no precedent example before. Okay? The first car ever made was a bid'ah then. Now there is so many cars. Okay? And the Sheikh even mentioned an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah 117. بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth. Because Allah didn't look an example of the heavens and the earth and make one like them. No. There was no such thing. There was no such thing, heavens and earth and Allah make like them. No, there was no such thing and Allah made them like that. Allah originated them and created them. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahqaf, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ In Surah Al-Ahqaf, in this verse number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, I am a messenger of Allah, I am the man. They were like, no, you're not the messenger of Allah. How could you be the messenger? Why you? Why? You the messenger? Allah told him, say to them, I am not a new thing among the messenger of Allah. It's not like I'm the first messenger. There is so many messengers before me that Allah has sent. So why are you amazed if I am a messenger of Allah? I'm not a bid'an. ما كنت بدعاً من الرسول. I'm not the first messenger ever Allah sent. No, I have so many of my brothers who were sent to so many people before to their nations. Meaning that I am not the first one. Sheikh says, I'm not the first one who brought the message from Allah to the servants. Many messengers precede me to this. So now when you say that a person innovates, meaning he came with a way that no one preceded him in it. If a person innovates, so this person is an innovator. He innovates this or this, meaning he came with a way that nobody preceded him to it. And in the religion, it is anything that has no dalil for it, from Quran and the Sunnah. Person tell you, look, this is what we're going to do it. So this is Allah said this. No, no ayah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, no hadith. So how could be from the deen then? Well, you know, it's nice. No, don't you think it's nice? Yes, now they, instead to say, yeah, you're right, akhi, subhanAllah, this is the deen of Allah. If he wants to call the people to anything and we say this is religion, then we have to call the people to what Allah said and what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But some people, they want to argue. They're like, hey, don't make a big deal, man. So you guys are harsh, man. SubhanAllah, everything, bid'ah, bid'ah, come on. You guys making everything haram. No. Listen, you want to talk about the deen of Allah? Tell us what Allah says, because this is His religion. It's not yours or mine. This is not the religion of this country or the other, or this group or the other. This is the religion of Allah. He sent a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revealed to him a book, Al-Quran, command everybody to adhere to this man and to follow this man. So that's what the ulama, they says. The bid'ah in the religion is any statement or action that the people perform as an act of worship and there is no proof to support it from the Quran and the Sunnah whatsoever. And as we're going to, when the Sheikh is going to talk about the, some examples of bid'ah that the Muslims, some innovations, subhanAllah, they're so famous. They're so famous that the one who don't know Islam and not studying correctly, he's like, how could it be not from Islam? That's why some people, they said, you think all of these millions are wrong? You're the only one that's right, Abi? Yes, you can be the only one right. When? If you follow the Quran and the Sunnah and the other people are not. Naam. Now keep in mind when we talk about innovations, there is two categories. There is innovations in adat, the things that are permissible for us. Like the modern technology. Okay? These things are permissible. You know, people they invent and innovate, meaning in cars, in buses, in electronics, in kitchenware, in clothing, in many things. People come up with new, you know, gadgets and new material and technology, especially in our times. You know, these are permissible. It's okay, unless if that person is using it for other, for certain purposes that is not from the deen of Allah. Okay? But keep in mind, when it comes to the religion, all innovations are haram. When it comes to the dunya, technology, and other than that, then the asal, the origin, that those innovations are permissible. Permissible. Electronics, permissible. But somebody is using it now. iPad is permissible. But now somebody is using it for music, now it becomes haram. You see? But somebody is using it for Quran, alhamdulillah. Okay? Using it for Quran. A tape player. That's an innovation. It's permissible. It's not haram to go and buy a tape player. But now when a person using it to listen to music, that's become a problem. But when it comes to innovations in the religion, they're all haram. There is no such thing, yes, it's, some of them are halal, some are haram. When it comes to innovations in the religion, they're all not permissible. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. This hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, whoever introduce anything, meaning add and brings anything to the deen of Allah, to these affairs of ours, that is not from it, it will be rejected. It will be rejected. وَفِي رِوَايَ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَ فَهُوَ رَدْ. In another narration similar to it, with a slight change in the wording, especially in the beginning. And this one here is in collect by Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action that is not in accordance to what the Prophet ﷺ was upon is rejected. That's why it's very important for us to learn the Sunnah and to know the bid'ah too. Can you imagine somebody is acting upon innovation his entire life? And that person, keep in mind, they may be sincere, very sincere, subhanAllah. And they cry and they do all this dua and all of this charity and all of this salat and recitation, but not upon the Sunnah, upon innovation. What the hadith says, what the Prophet ﷺ said? Be rejected. Can you imagine someone years, 50 years, 60 years stand in front of Allah, nothing. What do you mean nothing? 60 years of praying, fasting, Quran, dua, charity. But what is the problem? Bid'ah. That person was acting upon innovation, not upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shaykh says this bid'ah are many types. But mainly, there is a bid'ah i'tiqadiyya and bid'ah amaliyya. There is innovations related to belief. There are bid'ah in belief, in aqidah, in the creed. And there is bid'ah in actions of worship. Like the bid'ah in belief, like the statements of Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah is a deviant group, a deviant sect. Wal Mu'tazila, they are a deviant sect as well. Wal Rawafid, the Shia now, like those who are in Iran. They're a deviant group. These people, they have innovation in belief, and this is the worst of the two types. The innovation in belief is worse than the belief, than the innovation in action, and they're both dangerous, by the way. And these are only in examples, and all of the deviant groups who they have innovations in belief. Jahmiyyah, for example, why they call Jahmiyyah? Because they follow this deviant man who's called Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. These guys, they deny the attributes of Allah. Allah affirmed for himself attributes in the Quran and in the Sunnah. They said Allah doesn't have no attributes. Likewise, they say Quran is created, wal-iyadu billah. In whereas the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Quran kalamullahi wa wahyuhu ghayru makhluq. That the Quran is the speech of Allah and His revelation, and it is not created. Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila, they say no. And the Rawafid, they follow them on that. The second type of bid'ah is bid'ah fil ibadat. Is innovations that occurs in actions of worship. Whether it be salat, zakat, fasting, hajj, umrah, dua, and the like. And this consists of a person perform an act of worship for Allah. That person may be very sincere, but their problem is that they try to worship Allah by performing actions that Allah did not legislate. Did not legislate. And this occurs under different forms, take different forms. Sometimes you find, for example, the first type of bid'ah under this category in actions of worship, you find a person come up with an innovation that has no base in the religion. Nothing. You can find, is it in the Quran? Not in the Quran. Is it in the Sunnah? Not in the Sunnah. The Sahaba knew it, they never heard of it. An innovation, the Prophet don't know about it. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Sahaba, nobody know about it. Now somebody 300, 400 years, 600, 700 years after them say, no, this is good. It's going to get you to the Jannah, inshallah. We say to them, is it in the Quran? I don't think so. So go. Look for yourself before you call the people to anything. So, for instance, someone, he come up with a salat that is not legislated for us. Not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah. The Sahaba never performed this salat. Or some people, they may become to fast for certain reasons that are not legislated for us. I give you an example. Fasting the 15th of Sha'ban. People, this is a big thing. Fasting that day. Why that day? Why don't you fast 14? They're like, no. 15 is better. You get a lot of reward. Says who? Did Allah say that? Or did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that? Nobody. No ayah, no hadith. So that's a fasting that is a bid'ah, an innovation. Likewise, celebrations. People, they come up with celebrations. That we have no text from the Quran and no text from the Sunnah. The Sahaba never celebrate those celebrations, such as the A'yad, al-Mawalid, the birthday parties and celebrations. Whether it is the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or anybody else. And of course the Shaykh later on, when he's going to talk about the types of innovations, he's going to mention as an example this one, Bid'at al-Mawlid. The great bid'ah that a lot of Muslims suffer from. May Allah guide the Muslims, ameen, to the sunnah. So this is the first type and category of innovations in ibadat, that the people, they began to worship Allah by performing an act of worship that has no origin whatsoever. You cannot trace it to the deen of Allah. Can't. You just can't. It's not in the Quran, it's not in the Sunnah, the Sahaba don't know what it is. The second type is adding to an existing act of worship. We have an act of worship, mashallah, Allah legislated it for us to perform in a certain way. These people, they add something to it. For example, Dhuhr prayer. Is it legislated or not for us? Huh? Nah. We pray. We are commanded to pray Dhuhr and what? Asr and Isha. How many rak'at?
Four.
In Africa, how many rak'at?
Four.
In Bangladesh and Pakistan, how many?
Four.
In Asia?
Four.
In Saudi?
Four.
People of Mecca?
Four.
Still four? Everybody four?
Four.
Come on, Africa, Asia, Saudi, America.
Four.
Are you serious? Four. Sure. You know what you're talking about?
Yes.
Why are you quiet now?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You thinking about it now?
No,
it's four. It's four. Asr, Dhuhr, Isha, four. Na'am, Jazakumullah khair. Correct. Now somebody come and say, look man, these days, you know, people, they do a lot of, we're not like the Sahaba. We're going to do five. Because we're going to add more ruku', more sujood, more Quran. Sahaba prayed four, they better than us. We have a lot of problems. We disobey Allah. Huh? We need a little bit more salats. Right, Sheikh? So instead of praying four, what are we going to pray? Five. Because we're negligent. We're not like the Sahaba. Sahaba, four rak'at was enough. We're going to pray five. Is this okay?
No.
Huh? Even though we're going to add more salat, more Quran, more sujood, is it still okay? No, it's not okay. So now we have salat, dhuhr, but now we're adding to it. And the sunnah we drink with the right hand. Jazakum Allah khair. Hay. Barakallahu fikum. So now we, this person, they didn't come up with a new ibadah, because the ibadah exists, which is the salat. What is their problem? They add to it. So we cannot add anything to the deen of Allah. Why? Who knows?
Because
Ahsan, he said it right there, the answer. You, Akhi, you. Ahsan, this deen is perfect and completed. Because Allah said that. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have perfected this religion, completed. Something that is complete. Can you add to it?
No.
That's it. Can't add anything. If you add something, there is not. It's not. There is no place for it. Now, the third type of bid'ah is in the way the act of worship is performed. Sifa. Now we have an act of worship. It is legislated to us, alhamdulillah. Allah tells us to do it. The Prophet tells us to do it. But what is the problem? This person, he performed that act of worship in a way other than that which is legislated. An example, al-adhkar, the supplications. Here's the question. Is it legislated for us to make dua after salat or not? I'm asking you a question.
No.
To make dua after salat or not?
No.
It's not legislated? What do you mean it's not legislated? It is legislated.
It's not a congregation.
I didn't say congregation, did I?
Well,
Maybe you didn't understand my question. I just say, is it legislated for us to make dua after salat or not?
Yes.
Now, if I said, is it legislated for us to make dua in congregation after salat? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, or sunnah and no obligation.
In sunnah, it's yes, we can do it all together. We can make the dua together after the sunnah.
You can?
No, you can. No. Okay, this is an example like the dua. It is permissible for us, it is legislated for us after salat, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, to say Astaghfirullah 3 times. And then the other dua, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times. Everybody say it to himself, this is beautiful. But what if the Imam of the Masjid say, okay, everybody finish? Astaghfirullah. Everybody say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And then he's like, Subhanallah. Akhi, why are you not saying? Say with us, Subhanallah. Hey, akhi, anta, and Subhanallah. Is this permissible? It's not permissible. This is not permissible. Why is not permissible? Huh? It's an innovation. How do you know it is an innovation? Huh? Because we have no proof to support it. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it that way. If somebody say, what do you mean the Prophet didn't do it? The Prophet, he prayed so many times. All of these things we know about the deen, it came to us from who? Companions. And the companions, they did the Prophet ﷺ pray at home? And nobody see him praying? No, the companions, they see him praying every day. But not even one of them, not even one of them tells us that the Prophet ﷺ told them at least once, let's say Salat ala Nabi together. Let's say this dua together. No. So it is an innovation. So everybody make dua by himself. Not only that, some people, not only they say it together, they say it in chanting voice, like the Sufis. They get together, the Sufis, start making dua, and they sing it in a way, in a harmony, that like they singing. That's even worse, wal'iyadu billah. Yes? The raising of the hand, if you're making dua, just the dua, you can make the, you raise your hand. But if you finish the salat, you do not raise your hand after salat with the dua. You do not. Why? Once again, because it is not, it's not recorded. Nobody from the companion has recorded that the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands with the dua after the obligatory prayers. However, the ulama, they find some narrations from the companions that they said they saw the Prophet ﷺ raising his hands after some optional prayers. Okay? Inshallah. The fourth type of bid'ah and innovations is in here under this category in ibadah. Is certain people, they select and they choose a time, they're the one that select a time to perform some actions of worship. They are actions of worship, they are not innovations. Whether salat, fasting, charity, Quran, and then, but what is the problem? They come up with a time. They have, you have to do it in this day, this night. You see? Like we mentioned, that there is no proof to support it. For example, the example we gave before. Some people, they, when the 15th of Sha'ban, they stay up all night, reviving that night, with ibadah, tahajjud, reciting the Quran and this, and they fast the 15th, the day. They stay up the night, and they fast the day. Now you tell these people, wait a minute. What is the problem? Is staying up at night, reciting the Quran, praying, making dua, is this is haram? Is this is wrong?
No,
it's not. This is one of the best things. Is fasting the day, is it haram?
No.
Is fasting a bad thing?
No.
It's beautiful. But what is the problem?
The day,
them choosing a time. It's not legislated. Now we tell them, okay, look, fasting is good. But we fast Monday and Thursdays, and we tell you it's from the Sunnah because there is a hadith. Okay? Fasting 3 days of any month, your choice, is from the Sunnah. Why? We have a hadith. Fasting every other day is Sunnah. Who are you to say it's Sunnah? It's not me. The Prophet ﷺ said that to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Okay? But selecting that night, especially, we say, hold on. Did the Prophet ﷺ said that? Did he do it? No. So why you want to do it? You are special? You're more special than the Prophet ﷺ? You think something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do, you do it and gonna get you closer to Allah? No. Nah. And also, in the numbers, sometimes people, they come up, they says, if you make this dua 1,000 times, and they have the subha, they have the dhikr bees, and we tell them, they says, if you do it 1,000 times, you Allah build you a house in Jannah. We're going to say, subhanAllah, you're talking about a house in Jannah, man. Who are you? Are you a prophet? No, did the Prophet then said this? I don't know. Well, stop doing that until you know. Don't say to the people, look, if you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah 5,000 times, Allah give you a place in the Jannah. Says who? Did Allah say that in the Quran? No. Did the Prophet said that in the Hadith? No. Any one of the companions know about this? No. So what you doing here? Take it easy. Stop counting, man. Stop. Likewise, some people, they say, if you recite Surah Tabaraka 100 times, Surah Al-Mulk 100 times, that will save you from the punishment of the grave. Allahu Akbar. Do you want to be saved from the punishment of the grave or not? To be saved from the punishment of the grave, is it a good thing or not?
Yes.
Beautiful thing. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. May Allah save us. Ameen. Alright, what is it? Al-Mulk 100 times. Allahu Akbar. We start doing it or not? No. We say, wait a minute. You're talking about the grave, man. This is the unseen. This is the ghayb. This is ilmul ghayb. Only Allah knows these things. Now you're telling us, if we do this, we'll be saved from the punishment of the grave. Says who? Did Allah said that? No. Did the Prophet ﷺ said that? If he said yes, bring us the hadith. Then we look at the hadith. If there is a hadith, sometimes people, they innovate and they come up with a hadith. Yes, that's why we have so many weeks and fabricated hadith. Not just weak, fabricated. People, they come up with hadith. Because they for politics too. Sometimes for politics, they want to like get to the politic to win. But wait a minute, we're in a Muslim country. So who's going to vote on us? Muslims. All right. Well, let's tell them something. But if they tell them this is from Islam, they have to support it with the ayah or hadith. There is no ayah. Now they come up with the hadith. And the laymen, they follow them. Like Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahu ta'ala, he was mentioning the reasons why people, they fabricate narrations and they lie on the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, "Man kadhiba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa' maq'aduhu min an-nar." Whoever deliberately lie on me, let him book his spot in the hellfire. That's why, ikhwan, before we say the Prophet ﷺ says, let us think about it. Don't you ever say the Prophet ﷺ said, but you have no clue what you're talking about. Sheikh Al-Albani says one of the ways people for politics, for economy too, to make some money, to get somewhere. And he mentioned an example, Sheikh Al-Albani. He said this man, he was selling fish, samak. In this area, maybe those people, they don't know what fish is. Alhamdulillah. Fish is not too big in that area. And his neighbor, the person who's selling next to him, he sells dates. Balah. People, they love dates. This man over here who's selling dates, he has a lines in front of him. He can't even scratch his head, like we say, man. Busy. Busy making money. The other guy has fish. He just, nobody even tell him, how you doing, man? How much is that? Nobody. Every day he comes and he goes and back. Fish go bad. He go buy another one. But finally he's like, look, man, I gotta make some money. Then he said to the people, ah, Muslims, you just buying dates alone? They says, yeah. He said, you gotta buy the fish with it. They says, why? So the Prophet said, Qala fulan, fulan, Abu Huraira, the Prophet says, whenever you buy a date, you gotta buy fish with it. The Juhal, they began to buy fish. Easy. And people, he started making money by lying on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, after we mentioned this, what is the ruling on bid'ah? Because some people, they say there is a good bid'ah, man. Yeah, some people, they like, look, man, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. Haram bid'ah, haram, haram, haram. But this one here, it's okay. It's all right, it's okay. Look, every innovation in the religion is haram. And it's dalala, cause you to go astray and to be lost. Says who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. Beware of the newly invented matters that the people will bring, and they said it's from Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. For indeed, every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation lead you astray. And another narration, and lead you to the hellfire. Who wants to go to the hellfire? You can even take a hot shower. You're playing with the knobs, man, to get the nice temperature. You can even take a bite on that pizza, man, slice the pizza, you're going to let it cool off. Now you want to be in a hellfire. Who wants to go in a hellfire for a minute? May Allah save us from the hellfire.
Amen.
Amen. But this is how we save ourselves, by adhering to the deen of Allah. By learning before we do anything, say, listen, this is, what is it? Yeah, this is a good thing. It's good if it's in the deen of Allah. If it's not in the deen of Allah, it's despicable. It's bad. Are you saying bad? Millions of people. The Shaykh Mawlana is doing it. I don't know Mawlana. Did Allah tell us to follow Mawlana? Your Mawlana? Your Shaykh? I don't care. He memorized Quran. Okay, good for him. But what he understood from Quran, if he's acting upon innovations. Now we say, look, man, if he got to be good, he has to be in the deen of Allah. Right or wrong?
Right.
Yeah. If it's not in the deen of Allah, can be good?
No.
Not be good. How many deens we have?
One.
One religion. But if somebody calling us to something else, mean there is another religion, no? No, we can't accept that. We just can't accept that. And remember the two narrations. Whoever introduced anything to this deen, he will be rejected. Whoever act upon anything that is not from Islam, he will be what? Rejected. So every innovation in the religion is rejected. And it's misguidance and go astray. Keep in mind that the bid'ah now we're talking about, they are not all on the same level. Some of them are very, 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 I should say, extremely dangerous. Why? Because some of the bid'ah, they are disbelief. Not just adding a rak'ah or doing a du'a together. Some of them, they are kufr. Kufr. Take a person out of Islam. Even he say, La ilaha illallah. Even that person prays, such as tawaf on the qubur. Some Muslims, they go make tawaf. Tawaf, what is tawaf, ibadah or not? Tawaf is ibadah, right? Where? Kaaba. That's it. If you make tawaf around the Kaaba, that's ibadah. Can you make tawaf around the tree?
No.
The house of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can we make tawaf around it? Can we go to this tree the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit under for shade and we make tawaf around it? This is the tree, yeah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit under, man. This is not any tree. Huh? What do you say now? No, it's not permissible. Because the tawaf around the Kaaba is legislated. And that's the only legislated tawaf. Now you find people, they make tawaf around the grave of some person who died to get closer to that dead person. Another example of a bid'ah that takes person out of Islam, wal-iyadu billah, slaughtering animals for those people in the graves. Another innovation, calling those people, oh so-and-so, help me. Oh so-and-so, give me children. Oh so-and-so, my mother is in the hospital. The doctor didn't know what to do. Please cure my mother. Talking to somebody who? Dead in the grave. These are innovations that are kufr and shirk. Wal-iyadu billah. And like the statements of the extreme amongst the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila. Those who go to extreme into two different sects, Jahmiya and Mu'tazila, they have some statements of kufr, statements of disbelief that take a person out of Islam. Wal-iyadu billah. And there is some innovations, they are not shirk, but they lead to it. Like building tombs around the graves, and making salat at the site of the graves, and dua at the site of the grave. That leads to shirk. When some people go to the grave, and then they see a righteous man who is very righteous. They says, look, man, his grave has to be protected, respected. We're going to build a room around it. Those people, that's what they did it for that reason. That's an innovation. Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us, do not build anything on the graves. But those people died, whatever. Then other people came and they say, why this grave out of all of this one has a room around it? Got to be special. It takes one person, a wicked person, the shaitan play with his mind, says, you don't know. This is the sheikh, the wali. Man, the people come from all over and ask him to help them. You want money? Ask this man. He was a righteous man. Shirk. So building on the graves leads to shirk. Somebody's making dua at the grave site, which you can't do that. Except for the deceased person. If somebody died, you buried them, yes, you make dua for them. Ask Allah to make them firms. But you don't go to the grave and make dua. Because it leads to shirk. Other people, they're going to say, look, he's calling those people. Look, he's making dua. Oh, grave, give me. They don't do these things. And you don't pray at the grave site. We don't make salat in a graveyard. Okay? Also from bid'ah, it is fisq, i'tiqadi, like the khawarij, qadariya, murji'a. Like the khawarij, a deviant sect. Qadariya, another deviant sect. Al-murji'a, another deviant sect. Their statements and their belief. Why? Because they oppose the clear proofs from Quran and Sunnah. They come up with statements, and they say, this is from the deen of Allah. This is going to get you closer to Allah. This is going to get you to Jannah. We say, who says this? Just take it from us, man. We know. You know better than the Prophet ﷺ. If the Prophet ﷺ didn't say it, then you don't say anything. Now. And there is some innovations also that are sin. MashaAllah, person still a Muslim, but they committing sin and they disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example the Shaykh, he mentioned a person who's fasting, which is good, alhamdulillah, fasting. But this person, what is the bid'ah? Fasting is good, but what is the bid'ah here? This person, they think that if they fast and stay in the sun, not in the shade, they're better than those who stay in the shade. Is this good?
No.
All they sweating hard, they fast, you know. Passing out because it's hot, they stay out in the heat. They don't come in air conditioning. They're like, no, you guys want to go to air conditioning, make it easy? No, we're going to stay out in the sun, in the heat. We're going to feel it. Is this a good thing?
No.
No, it's not. It's a bid'ah. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. Didn't do it, the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, you fast is good, but you go in the shade, go lay down. No. There is an air conditioning on a hot day, go sit next to it. Alhamdulillah, no problem. Just fast, because we have no text whatsoever that if a person stay in the heat, he get more reward. No. If you work in the heat, nah. If a person is working outside and they fasting and they go through some hardship, they get good reward. Because that's their job. They didn't choose to go and sit in the heat and somebody say, come to the shade. Oh, no, no. I want to get more reward. You stay in the shade. Turn that fan away from me, please. I want to stay in the heat. No, can't do that. This is not from the deen of Allah. Ayna'am, barakallahu feekum. And then the Shaykh, he says, now, some people, they says, look, there is a bid'ah hasana and there is a bad bid'ah. There is a good bid'ah. The innovators, they do that. Ahlul bid'ah. The people of innovation, that's what they say. They says, look, yes, there is bad bid'ah, but there is a good bid'ah too. This is bad, and this is wrong. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we tell them, do we have a hadith? Do you have a hadith? Those who they say, look, akhi, yes, we agree with you. There is a bad bid'ah, but there is a good one too. We say, okay. What is your proof for both? They like, no, no, no. You give us your proof. So we're gonna give you a proof because we don't agree with you. Yes, we say all innovations are bad. Because we have a hadith, the Prophet said, "Inna kulla bid'atin dalala." Here is the man that Allah sent us to teach us the religion, and Allah commanded us to follow him. He says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Every innovation is misguided." Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said some innovations? He did not. He said every. If one brother here right now, this is only linguistically, if one of us now says, Ya Ikhwan, all of you, after Salat, all of you are coming to my house. All of you. Can I say, what about me, Akhi? Can I go? Can I go, please? What are you going to think about me? Why are you asking this question? The man says, everybody here can go. So you don't need to ask. If he says, some of your brothers will go for Isha. Now we're like, who are these people? The Prophet ﷺ didn't say some innovations are bad. He says every one of them is bad. So we tell these people, if you really want to practice Islam, you got to practice Islam the right way. Give up those things. Doesn't matter, mashallah, everybody make mistakes. Give up. Give up these mistakes. This, we're human. The one who does not make mistakes is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We, alhamdulillah, yes, we grow up in certain areas, we've seen things, we see people doing things, but then how we know which one is which? What is the sunnah from the bid'ah? Let's see what Allah says. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to do this? Yes. What is the proof? Alhamdulillah, let's do it. Prove some. But if you have no proof, that's it, we leave it alone. We leave it alone, barakallahu fikum. So now this person, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ says, every innovation is misguidance, but this mubtadi', this innovator says, wait a minute, I heard you, I heard what the Prophet ﷺ says, but this one is okay. What do you mean this one is okay? Didn't you just hear what the Prophet ﷺ just said? What the Prophet ﷺ said? Every innovation is what? Dalala. Bad. But this person is like, I heard you, akhi. I'm not deaf, man. I heard you. I understand English, man. I understand. But this one, it's okay. Yes, subhanAllah. How could it be okay if the Prophet ﷺ said everyone? Okay? Very important, ya akhwan. But Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation, why they say there is a good Bid'ah? So that they can practice theirs. They're like, no, those are, we understand the Hadith, every innovation, but there is few little good ones. They're good, just go ahead. But the ignorant, they go, they're like, look, the Shaykh, this is a big Shaykh, mashallah, he knows, he studied here, over there. But the people whom Allah give them firmness, and may Allah make us from them, ameen, they like Shaykh. MashaAllah, you study a lot, you have like many degrees, alhamdulillah, you memorize the whole Quran and other things. But just tell us, is this thing that you're telling us to do, is it from Islam? Yes, son. Did Allah said that? No. Did the Prophet ﷺ said that? No. Sahaba know about it? No. So why we have to do it? Because I said so. Didn't you say subhanAllah? With all our respect, you're not. Allah didn't tell us to follow you. Allah tells us to follow the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahaba. Now we just ask you a question. Is Allah tells us in the Quran? No. Prophet ﷺ and Sunnah? No. The Sahaba? No. You says no. So why you want us to act upon something like this? It's no good, man. It's just no good. Insha'Allah ta'ala. We'll continue next time because we're not finished from this. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Next time we're going to mention the Shaykh, because we don't have a lot of time. The Shaykh is going to make a clarification on some people that use the Taraweeh, because Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, Ni'mat al bid'ah, this is a good bid'ah. And they're like, see, Umar al-Khattab, this is a good bid'ah. Bid'ah hasana, this is a good, it is a good bid'ah. We're going to, inshallah ta'ala, leave that for the next class, inshallah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima kathira.